I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Lakey, I've had a mare, mate. I've had an absolute mare. So you know how I like to pour myself a little scotch before we do these things?
I do. It gets us in the mood.
Yeah, it certainly does. The only glass I had nearby was in the bathroom, and I figured I'll just get this clean little rinse out or whatever. I think based on the taste, it's the cup that my better half has been using to keep a toothbrush in.
Oh.
So that was a good... Oh, that about sums up. Well, it's not the worst effort we've had on the drink so far over the last few days. If anyone's read Wenin's team's analysis of my weekend wrap, how about it? Oh. Round 14 was not a good one.
Isn't it great? It couldn't happen to a nicer bloke.
Do you want to recount? Do you know the full story?
Oh, I only know bits and pieces, but I think you summed it up really well in your weekend roundup, so I'll let you take it over.
As I get the minty freshness of this scotch.
Jeez.
Basically, he has gotten on the sauce on Stone and Woods too. Not, I think they're like 1.1. It's not exactly the strong stuff. But anyway, he's geared up all week to trade in Cody Walker and Alex Johnson. He's been crowing it because it's obviously such a great matchup, great run in. We called it all the last couple of weeks, how good the Bunnies run is. And he goes, gets on Saturday night. It's about 6 o'clock. And he goes to us in the chat, shit, I've forgotten to do my trades, 5:30 game, how could you forget? Has to scramble, who's he find? Dallin Watene Zalesniak, Corey Harawira and Naira. CHN, not a bad shout, 56, could have been more, but got, tripped over and then into Kobe Hetherington's shoulder.
Absolutely dog of a shot that saw him sent from the field.
Should be banned for life. And then Watene Zalesniak. When you sent that text through to him the next day that he was signed by the Warriors and not named in the dog side later on for Monday, it was basically the cap off. It just shows don't drink and super coach, or if you're going to do it, don't get on the stage.
It was just one of those things. He sort of went into panic mode after missing the trades on Saturday. And I think we said to him, don't get DWZ. You won't want him in your team for long term. But he pointed out that playing from fullback, he's been averaging 60. So I thought, oh, okay, maybe he's onto something. But, yeah, absolutely turned around and shot him in the foot.
And now going to a side that has about 78 fullbacks. Oh, so Jesus. There you go, RTS on the wing. But anyway, that's round 14. He actually beat me. So all in all, Wenin had a bit of a win at the end there. But what could have been? What could have been? Anyway, that's round 14. I think if we just have a quick recap, you actually did pretty – well, you did better than me, slightly better than me, not as good as Wenin, but
no.
You're into 6,900th overall in the top 7K.
Yeah, I dropped a couple of ranks over the last couple of weeks with a couple of rubbish weekends. So I had decent numbers last week for the bye round, but or the bye round before that. But yeah, it's just my decent numbers were predominantly Tigers, and they all shit the bed as well. So I didn't do so well, and I dropped down. But 11:30 this week saw me climb up a little bit. I've just noticed your overall rank. You are flying.
Oh, yeah, top 4K. I actually dropped, I think it was 13 spots from last week. So basically hit par for where I was. So anyway, I'll take that. Just on trades, how many do you have left as of right now pre-making any for this week?
Pre-making any, I'm sitting on 13 trades. So I've really got to start pulling the, tightening things up a little bit. I do like my side. I think I've got a fairly strong side. I do have to get rid of some, as I said, Tigers, some dead weight there. But, you know, with Nico Hines just about ready to sell and on a big cash there, I can probably use him to fund a few of those two upgrades. So I think I'm not too far from a finished side.
That's good to hear because, yeah, nothing changes week to week in the NRL.
No, exactly.
15 trades. 15 trades I've got. So just two more than you. I've saved one or two here and there. So I think I've still got to make a fair few before round 17. Got to get a good side for that. But in the run home, it's just going to be hoping and praying that my guns don't fall victim to suspension, injury, whatever the hell NRL wants to throw at us. All right, round 15. So we're going to do a joint pod. I'm actually on the clock in a way here. So I told you off air, I've got I forgot my laptop charger at work. So I'm currently running on just a laptop running on its own juice. So if it's anything like me, it's going to fade very early on. So I think I've got about an hour of battery time. So that gives us a something to work towards. We do like to ramble, but we're going to have to keep an eye on the clock, literally. So we shall rush. Well, not rush through. We'll go through some of the key. We don't need to go too detailed, I think, in some of the team lists that are dropped today. Obviously, a interesting week with some of the names getting dropped back in. We'll cover a few of those. We'll then look at round 15 non-buy options. So players who might not necessarily need to fill their side with round 17 players. Maybe you play head-to-head. Maybe you've already geared up for it. But a couple of guys on the bubble for that. And then obviously the one all us overall players are looking towards that round 17 buy. A couple of the key players that we see for that run in there. And beyond, I think we'll go through in sort of position by position. I think it's a relatively dry creek, this round 17.
I don't like it. I've been doing so much looking into it, trying to find some diamonds in the rough, but it's just few and far between.
But, we said the Tigers and the like would be guns for round 13, and look what happened. Yep. So who knows? It's going to be players that have geared up for round 17 with players you wouldn't normally touch with a 10-foot pole that are absolutely going to smoke us. And we'll obviously finish with our round 15 plays, trades, captains, and all that. All right, Lakey, let's get into the team news of the day. On the clock as we are, we're not going to go the game by game, but we've highlighted a couple of key ins and outs. Big ones, Origin Cavalry returning for Penrith, Roosters, Manly, and the Bunnies. So the fullbacks, Tommy and Teddy, they're both back. They are welcome additions. And Panthers, they finally got they're on the slide, two in a row.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They're about to fall out of the eight. Just on the Roosters, Teddy, I believe, still got to pass a fitness test on his hip, I think it is. He had that hip pointer issue that saw him miss last week. So he's been named. They're hoping he gets up, but it's going to be a watch for that one.
Who says NRL's not educational? There's a few terms I've only just learned through watching this game. That's syndesmosis and hip pointer.
Hip pointer.
So I think I've only heard that in the last few weeks.
I legit couldn't tell you what a hip pointer is.
No idea. No, does a hip point?
Yeah. I'm assuming it's right on the edge of it somewhere, but we use the right terms. We sound smart. Let's leave it at that.
Groundbreaking physio news, NRL physio look out. And for the Bunnies, it's a huge week for them. So they've got Latrell, he's back. Obviously, Cody Walker isn't in Origin, but geez, there's a couple of very tempting options in that side. On 6 p.m. Friday game, CC Patalakai, a favourite of last year, he's been named to start for the Sharks for the first time this season. So we're relatively well underpriced and a pretty high break even. So somewhat of a wait and see. We'll chat a little bit about him later on. Billy Kickhouse, classic trade in, just targeting the buy rounds. He has been a disaster. Billy Kickhouse out with an ankle issue. No idea how long that might be, but he's out of the side anyway. You didn't trade him in, did you?
No. I left you that one all to your own.
It was frustrating last week because I had him in and he got over the line and then they called it a double movement. I think he threw a ball around the corner that went forward. He was chopped down short 500 times. I will trade him out. He will come back in 2 weeks, whatever it is, and just steamroll them for 100.
That thing is with his disallowed try, the double movement, I thought that was fair enough. But if he was playing just 24 hours later, it would have been allowed, apparently.
To be fair, I had Angus and I was, not impressed by the whole tongue out, whatever he was doing to the poor old Jaden. Can't even think of his name. Campbell. The poor young fullback. That'll do.
Show some respect.
Clearly. Yeah, Jesus. Well, Angus did not show some respect. But there you go. It's just shows the consistency of the NRL rearing its wonderful head again. For your boys, the Knights, how good is this? Finally, some cavalry.
Oh, mate, I've been absolutely champing at the bit for these boys to get back. Ponga's back and Pierce is back. I'm not a Pierce fan by any means, but you can just see our guidance in the halves has just been non-existent this year. So I think he's really going to help us. But in saying that, those boys return, and Bradman Best is out, what, 8 weeks? You're talking about your syndesmosis injury. He's got to go to surgery and get that fixed up. So he's going to be a big loss. Outside backs are always our weak point anyway.
It's an unfortunate timing, because now that Ponga and Pierce are back, you'd sort of expect a guy like Bradman Best would really benefit from that. So, I mean, who else? Is there anyone that we're even bothering still with? I mean, Mitch Barnett, he's been a trade out a couple of weeks now. Connor Watson's
he's really hit the wall. Connor Watson's here and there. He'll come in for a 70, and then when he starts last week, he got a, 36 or something like that. So he can't be trusted as an every week play. I think if you're going to keep Connor Watson and have him fill in for your 5'8 hooker spots, he's just going to be a emergency play, so to speak.
Interesting as well, the timing of this game, Lakey. So we've announced a couple of weeks ago that we're going to be at the Ipswich Cup. You, me, Wennon, and Sparky, we're all going to be, well, it's, I think, 3 p.m. kickoff for this one. Your boys, the Knights. That could be dangerous. Are we going to be stood there with our phone out for about the first 5 minutes before you throw it away?
Potentially. I think we should watch it on someone else's phone so I have the chance to hook my own phone and everyone else can keep watching the game.
You know, it wasn't ideal. Going down to the coast on the weekend, Friday afternoon, finished early, thought I'd get down, beat the traffic with the better half on a romantic weekend where I watched plenty of football, classic. Got down about 6:30, turned the TV on, 12:10. Saw we were 12-0, but 12-10, I'll absolutely take that. Within about 15 minutes, it was 28-12. I said to the better half, I'm going to the next room. I just need to cool down before we have to pay for this hotel room window. So, it's a fun game to follow sometimes, this one. Next game up, Walsh straight back into fullback for the Warriors, RTS to wing. No real surprises there. That's what they've stuck with. No Dallin Mutine-Zelezniak. Sorry, Wennon.
He's still at the Adam Dewey. He's named on the extended bench at the Dogs,
I have no idea.
I don't know. They're just not releasing him at the moment for whatever reason. But hopefully he gets, for Wennon's sake, hopefully he gets released by 17.
Adam Dewey, one of his players that he had to hold on to last week. He's out this round. He copped a nasty hit, so he's out with some concussion. He, I think, scored about 10 points, and he was in Wennon's side. Was meant to be traded out for Cody, but didn't happen anyway. And Ken Mamalo, he's taken his spot in the back line on the wing there, pushing James Roberts into centre. So, you know, 100 against the Storm last week could be another ton because he's playing the same lineup. And for them, still no Pappenhausen. So, I mean, it's been talking about the return to training last week, I believe, and now he's sort of gearing up for 16 return. Is that right?
Yeah, so the stuff I've heard is he's been sort of integrating himself into training. He'll have a session and flare up with headaches, so they rest him a couple of nights. So he's easing back in. They're aiming for round 16, so it's another 2 weeks from today because of the rep origin by round whatever it is next weekend. So he's got two more weeks and they're thinking he should be back by then. But hopefully he's right because he's one of the best kids to watch in the game. And we just saw with Boyd Cordner what happens with ongoing concussions. You know, can
nasty
linger.
Nasty stuff, yeah. I mean, he's so young into his career too, you'd hate to have it suddenly derailed. So fingers crossed.
As I say, it sucks for us on a Supercoach basis, but I think the Storm are taking the very right approach with him.
I'd be interested. So this round finishes on Sunday the 20th. Origin is then a week later, Sunday the 27th. So he wouldn't be back until the 1st of July, which would be round 16. So plenty of time to recover. So obvious move not to risk him this week and just give him that layoff. So
well, that's it. He was taken out at round 10. We were at Magic Round. He got took out there. So it's 7 weeks return to play sort of thing.
Yeah, unusual, I guess, in this day and age. Sometimes they just take it slowly. So good to see. Hopefully all the best for Pappy. I guess in interesting news, it gives another reprieve to Nico Hines. So he's a guy that's probably reached, you would think, his price limit. He's falling a little bit, 870K, break even of 170. In a game against the Tigers, it becomes a really interesting question that we'll delve into a little bit, but just what are you going to do with him? Are you going to take the cash grab, as you alluded to, or hold him for points? So huge conundrum. It's a very exciting week, actually, this one. There's a fair bit going on. Anything I've missed in those highlights?
No, that's everything that jumps out to me.
Alrighty then, let's get into the round 15 non-buy options. So these are the guys who won't play round 17. So obviously your Origin players, we all know who they are, the Turbos, the Teddies, all those sort of guys. They're the ones who won't play 17 and are a little bit touch and go for those games in and around Origin. So we won't talk too much about them. There are a couple of names I've gotten here for players. You know, if I didn't have them now and I didn't have to worry about a bye week, I'd be 100% getting him in. First one, Greg Marju. Man formerly known as Lelia Salu or whatever. 171K. I shouldn't say whatever. Awesome. I'm just terrible at pronunciation. 171K, break even of negative 84, courtesy of some pretty big games. Had, a try in his first, when his debut game. Last week it was 64. Not all in base. Yeah. 64, I think he had a try assist in that, but no scoring himself. Jeez, that's what you want out of a centre wing.
But as I say, he looked really well involved. He's trying hard. They came up against Melbourne and got – no, sorry, the Chooks, didn't they? Came up against the Chooks, and they got blown off the park early on and then brought it back. It was a one-point game in the end. I thought it's almost turned it off early on. I thought this is going to be another blowout. But the Titans hung in and made a game of it, and Greg Marju was really good to watch. Loves having a dig. So I think at the moment he is there on merit. We've got Corey Thompson somewhere lurking around the corner, but I don't think he's like a next week proposition. So Marju is someone who should earn you a few dollars leading up to round 17 at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only downside to it all is that he's not going to play round 17, which we're all saying is so important and all that. But if you look, I don't know, the way he plays and the way he can bust tackles, obviously so little sample size that we have to go off. But in terms of the way he's performing for the Titans, it just belies his experience.
Mate, we've been calling for this kid to get a run since he was at Parramatta 3 or 4 years ago. And it just sucks that it's come at this time of the year. The buy's already been done. Like, he would have been a perfect pickup if their buy was on the horizon, but just not to be. And if you're really in need, if you've got trades up your sleeve and you need some cash generation, he's the perfect opportunity. But, you know, for myself, I'm running low on trades, as I spoke about before, and so I'm probably going to have to miss him just because of that.
Yeah, I mean, great cash grab if you've got the trades. I think that's sort of the exclamation mark on that. That there, you definitely need to be considering that he's possibly a two trades to get him in and then get him out in the run home where you get, you're sort of gunning up once he's made all that cash. So luxury.
It's definitely a two trade because if you're going to get him in for the cash grab, you're making cash in a trade down, but you're going to want to cash him out to enough D at some stage. So it's two trades, and is that worthwhile, and do you have the trades to spare this time of year?
Based on his run coming up, Raiders, Dragons, Dogs, Cows.
It's a good run. It is a really good run.
Very handy run. Yeah. Which could see him, you know, if he keeps the form up, 400, 500K. There's just been some ridiculous price rises so far this season. A guy who hasn't gone too high in price because he's just played most of his games off the bench and still killing it, and that's Harry Grant. The second name, I've only got two, but he's the second name on here of just Origin or round 17 by players who aren't going to play round 17, I should say, that I would just get in my team yesterday if it wasn't for that bye week and how important it is to the way that we play the game. But if you just look at him, like, he just in that hooking position, and it's been a bit of a, well, it's a, as we said, a dry creek for a lot of the season. Jaden Brayley had his moments. Damien Cook's been very inconsistent. Harry Grant looks to be about the only one that we could genuinely say you want as a out-and-out gun for the run home.
Absolutely. He's on my watch list. I went through this afternoon and actually used that function in the Supercoach app. So
you use it once and you'll never go back.
That's it. I'll probably forget it's there. But he's sitting with a break even of about 84, I think, off the top of head. 87. Mm. Just found him. So 614 with an 87. That's like he's averaging 74. So that's kind of just, you know, he's going to be around 600K. Here, and he's going to be around 600K in round 18 when, you know, the Origin period's over. But he's just getting it done. He's far and away the best hooking option, and you're going to want him for the run home. Just depends when you get him in. Like for me, I've got my three hooking options at the moment are Brayley, Cheese, and Connor Watson. So none of them are playing round 17 anyway. There's a good chance I could just flick one of them to Grant. And, you know, when I've got a spare trade, possibly next week in the super trade round.
I would love to see him get through the Origin period unscathed. I think that's a key for him, given he's carrying a few injuries, but he looked good in comparison to, say,
that's
like a Cameron
big for
Munster.
Everybody. Mm. And it's funny because he's running in the Queensland side with less competition than he is at Melbourne with the Cheese there. But they're still getting it done. They're working well together. You know, Cheese flicks over into the forwards whenever. And I should say that's Brendan Smith. I've got a habit of jumping into nicknames and we got called out for it. So, yeah, Brendan Smith has absolutely been killing it, but he flicks over into the forwards when Harry comes on and they work well together.
Yeah, I mean, that was the interesting part. What do they do with Brendan Smith now that Harry Grant's back? And whether they keep that rotation, I'd be interested to see. It seems to work for them anyway. Harry Grant coming on against tired-ish forwards. Brendan Smith moving into the second row of the forwards.
I think if you look at back at the start of the year, they were playing Brendan Smith or they were planning to play him in the 13 before Dale Finucane was back. And now I think they bring on Harry Grant for Finucane, so move Smith into the lock and play Grant there. So there is a bit of a, you know, Bellamy super coach plan going on and they figured it out. But yeah, they're both getting plenty of time and they're, you know, Cheese keeps scoring tries.
How about Brendan Smith for the run home? Second row or hooking availability and Harry Grant. Is that a combination you'd be running with?
It's something I'm seriously considering. I got Brendan Smith in pre-round 13 so I could have him for the bye round, and I was planning on just using him for 3 or 4 weeks while he built up a bit of cash, but he has been a great option. I was thinking this afternoon I would not be upset if I ended up with Harry Grant and Brendan Smith as my two hooking options on the run home. They both play well, and if one goes down, the other one's there as the permanent option.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and it's good coverage, as you said. So, I mean, we've got to take that into consideration, particularly our low trades. But you look at it, their run after round 17, they got the Knights, got my boys. Jeez, we could be in for some strife post-Origin. The Cowboys, they play in round 19. Then they got the Panthers, that could be a little bit tougher, and then Manly at Lotto Land. So, I mean, a couple of good games coming out of that, a couple of tough ones. But the way that they play and the way that the Storm are going so far this year really won't matter. So, that's a definite combination I'm looking at.
They've put on something, what is it, like 9 straight games or 40-plus points or something ridiculous. So, they're getting it done regardless of who the personnel are. You know, they've been missing through injury and through Origin, and they're still putting up huge scorelines. So, they're just it's an absolute super coach factory down in Mexico.
It absolutely is. Anyone in the guys that aren't playing round 17 that you'd be considering leaning up to it?
No, not really. I think this is a stage where you want to get rid of guys. Or, you know, the only guy I was sort of considering you know, he's on my watch list, as I said before, but Jerome Luai, he's dropped down below 450. I could actually make cash trading Connor Watson down to Jerome Luai today, but he has a big 100-plus break even. He'll be missing through the Origin periods and that sort of stuff, but he's a guy that's going to be very cheap soon. So whether you just get him in as soon as he bottoms out, there could be an option there.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how he goes later in the year. It's going to be a big, energy-burning year for him. He's played every game, I think, so far this season, including Origin and his debut. So who knows what it'll do to him in the back end, but he was a little bit quiet leading up to Origin. Maybe this 50-6, whatever it was, will spark a bit of life into him.
He had the best seats in the house watching Cleary put on Supercoach records. So you can't blame him for being a bit quiet.
Absolutely not. One name I didn't even bother because he's like 50% owned and I don't own him, classic, is Isaiah Papali'i. Yeah. I was hoping the clown would get bloody suspended for 2 weeks, literally kneeing someone in the head on the ground. But, I don't know.
Apparently,
what's going on.
They're just letting it's eased up a lot since Magic Round when it really cracked down. Munster's kicked 2 guys in 4 days and got fined. So they've taken a back seat to it.
I think that's Papali'i's second or possibly third sin binning so far this season. Seems to be in the late stages of the game too. So frustrating for owners, but yeah, he's
very
still
frustrating. He's still knocked out an 85 with that sin bin. So you'll take that.
Yeah, well, I won't because I don't have him. Same as Dave Fafita. Those guys are must-haves, I think, in the run home if they hold.
Absolutely. Dave Fafita, it's almost it goes without saying, but he's got played off the bench last week. He had low minutes, low score, 151 break even. So he's dropped under 800K for the first time in, you know, since about round 3 or 4. and he's just going to keep dropping over the next couple of weeks, and he should play limited minutes over the, you know, maybe even round 18 as well. So he's going to be a great pickup on the run home.
He's almost halved his ownership. So he's gone from 66K in round 9 when he copped that suspension to 38 as of last week. So I'd be surprised to see that climb until the Origin period is over, given that break even. So he could
fickle people, us super coaches are. As soon as he drops another ton, everyone will be jumping straight back on him.
Classic. We don't chase last week's points. No, not That's at not all. Rule number one. Absolutely not. All right, let's take a quick break, Lakey, and then come back to the actual round 17 buy player options.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're back. We're going to go through some round 17 players. A couple of guys, cheapies on the bubble. We'll start with them before we get into the position by position. Well, I had two. One was Helam Lukey. Team list's dropped and he's gone. I believe alcohol related. They held a ball mid-season. Who the hell does that? What are we doing? That's Broncos stuff, Cowboys. Get your act together. He's nowhere to be found. So Helam, he would have been on his third week this round if he was named, but not to be. Matty Tomoko, though, on the other hand, 201K. I think he's slightly above bargain.
Yeah, 203.
He's 203. He's playing his second game for the Raiders. Are you tempted this week?
Not this week. As I say, it's a beautiful part of his one big game. You can see if he can back it up against the Dragons this week, and then he'll be the same price. So wait a week. We've got 5 trades next week. He's the perfect guy to trade down to make some cash to fund the rest of your trades.
Yeah, I mean, Wenin called him out as possible AE nightmare in his round or in his team's analysis. So, I mean, for us, he's a body that we can get for cheap for round 17, fingers crossed, touch wood. And, yeah, as you said, we've got another week to wait. So I think a lot of people are moving early on him, but possibly hold fire.
It's exactly what we spoke about with Greg Marzu before. He's going to require 2 trades. You got to trade him in and then trade him out once he makes his cash, unless guys like Croker comes back and they don't suspend Curtis Scott and, you know, Tomoko just drops out naturally. But you're going to want to trade him out to cash in on him anyway. But the big advantage is he should be playing round 17.
Yeah, which is great points, and that's what you're sort of buying him for. So I see him as a guy that you're going to pick up next week in the Super Trade Week, all things going well for him. No one really else on the cheapie bubble. There's not really a lot of cheapies at this stage of the year.
There's a, you know, from the Dogs, Aaron, I want to say Shoop, I think it is.
Yep, but that'll do.
He's not even on the bubble. He's played 3 games, and he's averaging 40 points or something. So negative 10 break even, 214K. He's not going to do too much for you, I don't think. I wouldn't be rushing to get him in.
Carmichael Hunt on the bubble, Jack DeBellin. Carmichael Hunt's got only 1 game.
They don't play. Neither of them play round 17. such a bummer.
It's brilliant that we've gotten this far into the season. We're talking about Carmichael Hunt and Jack DeBellin. What world are we in?
If I even considered trading those guys in, I'd just turn around and delete the app off my phone.
Honestly, if you were like running 25K or whatever and you're just giving up, just start doing that. Start doing these weird moves because who knows? It's a weird old season. Might just pay off. Jack DeBellin, who knows? Carmichael Hunt, who knows? Let's look at some other players before we get into the position by position. I've had a quick fiddle around with some of the stats. I've tried to filter on highest priced players who are in teams that are going to play in round 17. Basically all Origin guys. So Turbo Holmes, Teddy, Luttrell, Pappenhausen, and some guys that could be on the radar should injuries and suspension strike, and that's Cody Walker, Angus Crichton, Bill Tupou, Daniel, sorry, and Reece Walsh, all in the top 20 Billy for value. Bill Tupou, these. Jeez, he was a throwback to Cowboys doldrum year center. Yeah. Anyway, all in top 20. So that really does not leave a lot of room in and around those guys. I think you've got, you know, the likes of Tohu and Cody Nikorima. We'll get to them. But yeah, it's just not a very profitable or valuable week for those sort of teams.
It's not. As I say, all the best options are Origin players for that week. You know, we should have the Cody Walkers and those sorts of guys who have just missed out, but you're not going to have as strong as, you know, if you can get 17, it's not going to be as strong as 17 as you had 4 weeks ago.
And I reckon if I'd left this off the run sheet and just asked you straight out, you never would have gotten this, but Ruben Garrick is currently the second highest priced player of teams that are playing in that week.
I actually knew that because someone pointed out to me about 2 weeks ago how well he was doing, and I couldn't believe it. And it's all Turbo related, you know, mainly.
Apart from last week when he just destroyed us.
Well, that's it, but he's killing it, and he's goal kicking, so Manly are putting points on the board, and he's potting goals for fun. So what's he averaging, 70 something?
Yeah, it'd be about 75. Yeah. But unreal how it just shows this season, once teams get on a roll, and Manly have done that, they just rack up points, and a goal kicker is going to reap the benefits. And, I mean, Ruben Garrick scores his tries and all that. He's a handy enough player, but at the start of the season, if you told me that Ruben Garrick was going to be the highest priced non-Origin player in round 17, I would have just laughed because he wasn't even going to be in the side.
No.
That was the whole thing.
No, they were looking to replace him after about round two. But, yeah, he's come out firing. He's been one of the best, like one that got away. I never even considered him until someone pointed it out to me.
All the cash to be made from Nico Hines, would you splash it on Ruben Garrick?
I wouldn't. Okay. I don't know. I mean, he's not going to be the worst choice. He's averaging, I've found him, he's averaging 73.3. And he's got Turbo feeding him pies and putting everybody else over. So he could be a guy that's going to be a difference maker for the run home. He's only in 6% of teams, big pot option. So, yeah, going from Hines down to Garrick is a 200K profit, plus getting a guy who's averaging 70. Maybe I will.
One of those law of averages, mate. Sooner or later, he's going to return to the Ruben Garrick of old. But 4 tons so far this year, incredible. That's it for the other guys. But let's get into the key players in the positions. Let's start with second row. I've got one name here highlighted. I reckon he's the must-have, and that's Tohu Harris, 598K. A little bit quiet over the last couple of weeks, two sub-60s in a row, which he hasn't done all year. Break even at 100, so he's not necessarily a must-have for this week, but by round 17, I think everyone's got to have this player in, right?
Yeah, and he's already in 28% of teams, so he's far from a pod or anything like that, very highly owned. It's funny, with guys like Tohu, he scored a 57 and we went, oh, that's terrible. But you'd take that from most other guys. He's just that consistent and that good at the moment. So we expect more. And I don't know whether Curran's affecting him in that regard. They're sharing minutes or sharing roles or whatever it is. But I'll be definitely getting him in. I don't know. I'm not an owner at the moment, and I'll be looking to get him in by at least, you know, round 17, if not next week.
It's a strange combination that I was watching on the weekend in that Warriors against the Storm game, because you've got Josh Curran basically moving from side to side. He was tackling on one edge and then he went to another edge
everywhere.
And then he went to the middle. And then Tohu Harris is doing sort of the same thing. So in a way, like when they do that in both attack and defense, it opens them up for attacking stats when they've got the ball in hand. Then also conversely, the base, that the tackling that's going to happen through the middle and on those edges. So they get the best of both worlds. And for Tohu, he has 80 minutes basically every week.
Yep.
So, I mean, that it's just a second row of floor that we don't see too regularly so far this season. So I think there's no real questions. Given that break even, probably not going to clear that this week. So I'd be holding fire if you're not just desperate for points or whatever it might be, or a warm body, and be looking at him for that midweek, what is it, the 5 trades next week, super trade week. So
yeah, keep an eye out for him. With Tohu, he's scored limited tries. He's not a try scorer, but when he has, I think he's only topped out at just over 100. You know what I mean? He's he's not going to break the bank if you miss him this week. So he is someone to watch while he does have a big break even. He'll drop a few more dollars. He is playing my boy, so anything could happen. But
just put on a Tohu Harris double
yep.
in my Sportsbet account. Thanks, Lakey.
No worries.
A couple of other names, the alternatives. So Satili Tupanu, who's the first on the list, 518K, 64 five-round average, but probably pretty low base for some of his peers, so tends to score a lot of his points through attacking stats, which, you know, the Roosters shit out at the best of times. So he had a quiet game last week. I think I read he was battling some sort of niggle throughout the game, so possibly explains his quite low 36, I think it was.
Yep.
But again, now that Corden is out, unfortunately for, well, he's retired, that opens up Tupanu for the rest of the year.
Yes, and so he's really a guy that I should have, and hindsight's a wonderful thing, but I was looking at him in round six or something like that after his KO game earlier in the season and decided to go somewhere else, but he's been destroying it since, you know, a couple of 90s, an 80 and a 70 over the next 4 or 5 weeks that he's knocked out. So definitely has a big score in him, playing off the likes of Walker and Teddy and those sorts of guys. He's going to fall over and yeah, I see him as like an 18th man on the run home.
Scotch update. I'm not dead yet and my teeth feel whiter.
You don't even need to brush your teeth going to bed, mate. You're saving yourself time.
Why not? Cutting the middleman out. CHN, next one on the list. 495K. He's chugged along very nicely for you and I. I think he's made nearly 200K since the start of the season when he got named. Eventually, he's been doing great things. Got robbed of possibly a big score by that awful tackle last week. He still managed to get back onto the field, so that was good signs in the closing stages. So obviously going through protocols as well this week. So keep an eye out for that if you are looking to bring him in. I'm not sure when the Raiders are playing. Are they sort of midweek? What are they?
No, it's Saturday afternoon after the Knights, so 5:30 Saturday afternoon against the Dragons. So it's a really good matchup for him considering what the Dogs just did to the Dragons last week. Josh Jackson and Elliott were having big games in the second row for the Dogs. I really like the matchup for CHN. Hopefully he's okay. He passed his HIA, as you said, and got back out there. So that's, you know, to me, good signs. But, you know, these concussion symptoms can linger or pop up over the course of the week. So just definitely one to watch. He's a great option. He's been killing it as, I mean, 90s.
In a team that's going dreadfully.
Oh, right. Mate, I think I said a couple of weeks ago, they don't have anybody, so surely someone has to step up and do something. And it's been him. He's 71, 69, 90, and then 56 last week, missing 15 minutes. It's he's almost in, you know, top six range in the second row.
I think a lot of serious players are bringing him in, so you could do much worse than pull that trigger this week or next. Koloa Matangi, next on the list, 475K, playing for the Bunnies, finally getting some starting minutes, gun player. Five run average of 55, so, I mean, not huge, but we'll be having to cover for those, well, in that round 17 week, where the Bunnies will have a few attacking guns out, so it could be a bit more base coming his way. Have you, I've kept an eye on him, but I haven't seen anything that's making me want to jump and pull the trigger straight away?
No, not straight away, except for the run over the next couple of weeks. Broncos, yep. Tigers, your boys, the Cowboys, and then yeah. Dogs, Warriors, Dragons. So, geez, it just keeps getting better and better. But, yeah, so he's playing in a very high-scoring side and playing off Reynolds and Walker and Latrell. Just, you know, as you said with the Roosters, these guys shit points too. So Colin Matangi will be the benefactor of those, but he's not an every week play. He's a matchup play. But yeah, the next month and a half is those matchups.
Yeah, I mean, it's the time to get him, isn't it? But I guess we're thinking more longer term. You and I don't have all the trades in the world, so maybe Koloa Matangi is not a name that we could see sticking around for much longer post 17. Josh Curran, name we talked about along with Tohu, so 407K, played his first game for a few weeks last week, got a handy score, but could have been more. Five run average of 58. Still good time out there. Got through an hour, as we said, a roamer. So I think the issue for players would be that you've probably already traded him out if you don't already have him, or you just missed him from the start, whatever it might be. So you'd have to be trading him back in, which people don't like doing. But at 400K, he looks a decent option, but possibly Koloa Matangi kind of mold, not a long-term hold.
Yeah, I don't think so. If you've traded him out, it'll be tough to trade him back in. But he's got a break even under 40, and he's, you know, averaging well above that. He's in the 60s. So is it definitely worthwhile grabbing for only 410K?
And here's my Billy Kickow for round 17. Britt Nakora, 446K, five-round average of 50. He hasn't done much this year. Said the same thing for Billy Kickow. Playing in a side that should play pretty well in round 17. Said that about Kickow as well. you know, they're just coming good. Sean Johnson out there, Matty Moyle, and they're feeding some pretty good outside backs as well as those middles. So maybe Britton will get a piece of that. Hasn't so far really this year outside of a couple of good games where he's scored.
He's a guy that's absolutely super pod. He's less than 1% owned. So if he goes off, you're onto a winner. But I do worry he is your Billy Kickow.
Yeah. I mean, you're really hoping that he scores some tries in that 17 week, which, you know, the buyers tend to throw up these sort of weird score lines and weird team combinations. So never know. He could be a smoky playing a daytime game against the Warriors, Sean Johnson's old side. So who knows? Could be a decent day out. One name I realized on the way home today that I've missed. Can you think of it?
Jason Tomalolo.
There you go. I cannot believe we're talking about a bye week where Tomalolo is going to play and he's fit-ish. And I haven't even thought about it.
Well, he's averaging 50. So I was going to say to you, you're the Cowboy, let's say, expert. sell me on him.
That's about
the extent of it. and it's not even his fault. He's been looking good when he's been on the park. But what was it last week? You guys were up 12-0 and then Peyton sat him for something like the rest of the game. And you got
felt like it, certainly. Basically, all the time we were competitive. But, I think he still only got 55 minutes. So it wasn't, you know, crisis 40 minutes or anything like that. But issue is with him, he's just that disruption mid-game never helps him. Any games where that's been the case, like that Penrith game at the start of the year, this game here, like when he's come back on, the game's over. And that's just been the way that it's panned out. I think the big one for him as well, he spent so much time off the field. So he's really going to need a bit more consistency, I think, once he gets juice in the legs. And he'll get that over this round. He'll probably play for Tonga. I think they're playing next week, international week. So he's still going to get some time on the field. And I think that's probably key for him. So for me, he's a guy that I'm keeping an eye on just because he's a Cowboy and I love him, whatever. But if he's coming into round 17, you can see, similar to the way he played against the Broncos that week when he'd finally got some games under his belt, I can see him possibly being a contender given his price, but geez, so far this season have not seen much at all.
Well, apart from the Broncos game where he cracked the ton, scored a try, I believe.
Certainly did.
He's only broken the 50 barrier once out of his six games. So he's just not the same guy. And Patton just needs to play him. He's your Mitch Barnett, essentially. He just needs to be on the field and he's a difference maker. Watch him come out for Tonga next week and just be the best on the park and play 65, 70 minutes or something like that and run all over blokes. And then questions will be asked, I think, hopefully.
Certainly will. Weird old season for Lolo. So I think to sum up for second row there, Tohu looks to be the out-and-out gun must-have for 17. Then you've got some pretty good guys around him, Tupanua, CHN as well, that you could stick into your side and probably hold long-term given the way that they're playing in a few pods outside of them. Halfback, HFB, got a couple of names here. First one is Cody Nikorima. Big news, I guess, is that CHT looks to be out for the season. Horrible luck for CHT, Harris Tevita, but he looks to be out. And his average, Cody Nikorima's average without him so far this season is 74 versus 67 when Harris Tevita is playing. Now, if you look at those, it's a pretty erratic kind of scores without him. 134, 35, 37, 104, 24, and 112. That is a Rocks and Diamonds classic Cody Nikorima. With him, he's a little more stable, so a lot hovering around the 60s there. So 74 is courtesy of a few big blowout scores. What have you read? Like, what are you reading into his season so far? Do you think it's just been a case of, you know, Warriors have had a few good games. He's kicked some goals, scored some tries against rubbish teams, and he might get caught out in the run home.
I don't know if he'll be caught out, but he's had a breakout year, definitely had a breakout year, and he's without CHT there, he's been the focal point, and he's goal kicking, and which is boosting his scores and that sort of thing. The Warriors are one of those rocks and diamonds teams, and so I think that's like Cody gets dragged along by that, or they get dragged along by his form or whatever it is. But when they go well, he is killing it, and when they're struggling, he doesn't do much at all. But he's a guy who's more than capable of putting on a ton, averaging 70. They've got a pretty decent run over the next couple of weeks, I believe. They start with us, then the Dragons and Sharks over the next three. So it's a good run for him. He could be a difference maker for you over the next couple of weeks, but I don't think he's a guy that you're going to want be happy with in your halfback 5'8" spot for the run home over the likes of, you know, definitely not over Cleary, obviously, but you've got Munsters, Cody Walkers, Jerome Luai, who I touched on earlier, those sorts of blokes who you're going to want over Nico coming home.
Yep. I think that's the issue. He's only available. I think he's
a dual. Yeah, he's on both ends of it. So you could pair him with a Sean Johnson and rotate him. He could be your fourth half as simply a cover option only. Maybe play him on the weeks they play the Tigers or the Dogs. They do play those over the run home, and the Broncos. So it's a couple of good matchups for him, but he's not going to be a guy you rely on every week.
No, I think the key, though, is that you need halfback coverage. I think Cleary, given the way he's playing so far this season, the way the Panthers are positioned, although they have fallen recent times, but I think a guy like Cleary could get rested in the run home. So you're probably going to need to rely on a good backup half.
Mm-hmm.
And that's currently I've got Jerome Hughes. I'm pretty comfortable with that. But a guy like Cody Nikorima or Sean Johnson, I guess we'll get into him. He's about 90-odd K cheaper than Cody Nikorima, playing in a side that looks to be on the up, though who knows how to read that. They played the Dragons, who lost to the Bulldogs, and then Penrith last week, who they just scraped home against. But I don't know, it's tough to get a read on, but it looks like SJ's warming into the season,
well, the Sharks,
despite not having a contract.
The Sharks were a finals team last year, and it was based on Sean Johnson, essentially. He was fantastic over the before Achilles injury, slowly coming back from that, but he's looking better and better as the game goes on. He was in everything last week against the Panthers, and I think he was the reason they won the game. He's not as quick or as agile as he once was, obviously, but he's a much smarter footballer than he used to be, and he can pick out holes in the defensive line and put his guys through. He got lucky last week with a try set up by your boy Nikorima. No, the other one, Nikora.
Nikora, yep.
Yeah, so so that boosted his score, but he's going to be a 60, you know, 55-60 scorer and play him on the good weeks.
Cowboys, Broncos the next 2 weeks, and then the Warriors for round 17. So yeah, very interested to see how that comes about, and then the Raiders after that. So a pretty good run for
and SJ. The Dogs. Talk about, so yeah, it's a good 5 weeks.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, so that, I mean, we've talked about him being a middle-ish sort of scorer so far this season, but this could be really where he puts his foot down now that they've got the spine settled. Good things might come his way. So 35 break even, good time to get him if you can afford him up there, and the time is right for you based on your team structure. I think he's 35 bracket. It's not going to be the end of the world if he hits an 80 or so, which he's destined to do against us.
Yeah, say it's he's only a 15K jump from Connor Watson.
Mm. Yeah, that's a great play. He's, as you said, you can flick him down to 5'8", probably the preferred position given everyone's got Cleary. So, yeah, interested, very interested in him over the coming weeks. Alternative to halfback, and he's halfback only, is Sam Walker, 497K, 105 break even this week. Tough run ahead until 17. He plays, I think, the Panthers and then the Storm over the coming weeks, so it could be a good test out for him. Dealing with some shoulder concerns. So last week I didn't think he'd be back. He was
he got smashed.
That shoulder. Yeah,
he looked in a lot of strife, but went in the sheds, needled up, came back out and, you know, kick the game winner.
Those needles.
That's different to the Cronulla needles, but
great call. So he's one similar to Josh Curran that we mentioned. So a guy that most may have traded out already, and it'd be a matter of trading him back in. And I think given he's so young, 18, you know, he's going to be primed for a rest over the next month or so.
Well, he just had a rest. They had the bye and then he missed the game after that or vice versa or something like that. So he's had a rest to get his shoulder right. Then he got smashed on the other shoulder last week. So hopefully he's okay. But, if either of those flare up again, he could be, you know, out long-term or given another week off.
Those are the three half-backs that I've named, keeping an eye on. So I think for me, the guy I'm leaning towards is SJ. I think that run is just very tantalizing. Cody, he's two rocks and diamonds, and I think the run is okay, but I really like the Sharks, the way that they're sort of firming. So hoping it comes to a bit of a derailment this week against us, but, based on last Friday, I don't really see that happening.
You didn't touch on Tommy Dearden.
Oh, okay, moving on to 5-8. Poor old Tommy Dearden. 5-8. Cody Walker, I think, is out and out now that he's not in the Origin arena, and fingers crossed for owners that Jerome Luai stays healthy and keeps his spot there. You can't really see Walker cracking that side. So 542K, great price for him, 43 break even. You'd think, based on the rest of them, he's the most logical keeper out of all them.
Yeah, definitely. You saw what he did on the run home last season and record holder for it. Couple of weeks, whatever it was, before Cleary got back it. But his price has dropped well off from where he was, been a bit down, and he had that 16 against Melbourne, which cut into his price a lot more. But the last couple of weeks, an 83 against Parramatta and a 76 last week against Newcastle, they've got a fantastic run, as we said, starting with the Broncos this week, so he could be anything.
Worst case scenario as well, he misses round 17 because he's called back up, but you still look around that, like Brisbane, Tigers, Dogs, Warriors, Dragons in the next 6 weeks. So obviously playing us as well in that round 17 bye week. So even outside, if you know, the off chance he does get a call up, you're still getting value for money, great pick. And a guy that hasn't tunned up, we know Cody, as you said, the record holder, but he's average of 69 and no tons. Yep. So weird year.
Touching on the Origin uncertainty, he's behind Luai, obviously, and he's behind Whiten, who was there on the bench last game. So it'd take a fair bit for him to get called up, I think, at this stage. So it's probably good for us super coaches that New South Wales towed us up the way they did.
Silver lining, we'll take it.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. Latrell's going to be in Origin as well and possibly for round 18, which, you know, Cody tends to find more of the attacking stats when Latrell's not there because Latrell just hogs them on those sweeping plays. But for Walker's sake, Latrell won't be there in 17, so it could be good stuff in that week against us. I don't really think there's many alternatives. So SJ, we've talked about up there. Cody as well. Scott Drinkwater, what do you reckon?
Yeah, he's an interesting one, isn't he? He's quietly been putting on some really good scores. And so I watched him last week in a well-beaten side, obviously, but he was the one shining light for you boys. He hasn't stopped trying and is laying it on for his guys. A month now with 103, 80, 62, and a 77 against some, pretty decent competition too in the Roosters and Manly. So putting up some good scores, he'd be a very outside-the-box play. But similar to Nick Arima, I think it would just wouldn't be a guy you'd be trusting. It'd be a fourth for you.
I think now that Tom Dearden's there as well, he's just going to find his way. So I can see Drinkwater steering the side around for a few more weeks. So the attacking stats will come, hopefully not in a 40-point loss, but they will still come. So he's an alternative, a pod in that sort of position. But I think similar to second row, I think Cody Walker is just an absolute no-brainer. Must get almost for this week, given that matchup against the Broncos at Suncorp. It could be horrible watching if you don't own him. Hooker, I don't really think there's much to go into. We talked about Harry Grant at the top being the Origin player that we'd love to have right now, but can't do it with 17 looming. I had a name down here, Victor Radley, 330.
He cannot stay out of trouble.
Oh, boy, I think I've cursed him there 2 hours later. Couldn't get on a flight home.
No, he's on a flight. He got kicked off.
Yeah, there you go. That happens to the best of us, hey? But there you go. He was my alternative in that position. Other than that, Carl Lawton. We said last week on the pod, Wen and I, that you just wouldn't go near him given Josh Schuster's looming, but he's been looming for a while and Lawton's still there, so doing good things.
Schuster's just a couple of weeks away too, I think I heard.
Yeah, so I mean, it's one of those plays, like a lot of players just traded this guy in because of his good run and good break even and all that, and we sat back our super coach professionals and said, don't do that.
Yes, he's a trap waiting to happen.
Yep.
Oh, wait, did he score 70 plus again? Okay, cool.
So there you go. If you've got him, got Carl Lawton in as your either second row or hooker, you're doing pretty well. Congratulations to you. It's just a season where these sort of almost no-brainer moves seem to be working out. That's so maybe right, we just need to lose our brain.
In a serious thought, like if you're going to look in the hooker position for a round 17 guy, the names you're looking at outside of Carl Lawton, we've spoken about it, Josh Hodgson, Reece Robson, Lachlan Croker, Wade Egan if he's back, if he's not, Jazz Tavanga, but it's very bare bones.
Save the trade.
Just take an AE from somewhere else. Get your 17 from outside of the hooking position.
Fullback, let's speak about that one. It could be a similar story here. Is it worth tinkering? Question posed to you.
I'm tempted.
yeah. Who are you tempted by?
Reece Walsh. I know he's going to be another two-trade guy. You want one of the, I'll say, big five. Two of the big five, I should say. But, yeah, he has the Warriors have a good run, and he's been putting up some great scores. But, what scares me most about Reece Walsh is this talk of him being pulled into the Queensland side.
Yes, bizarre 10-game rookie.
Yeah, exactly.
Not even, is he 10 games?
Six games, whatever. Mate. He's played six, so he's obviously playing very, very well, but I think it's a bit of hype about him that's got him to that point if they're actually seriously considering it.
Paul Green's just gone, AJ Brimson didn't work, so I'll bring in another fullback to play the hooking role.
Someone
for 20
who's
minutes.
Younger and smaller.
Greenies just caught the Kevin Walters bug there. But no, I'm interested by that play. I think the combination with RTS we've seen now, it's just locked in that he's going to play fullback longer term for the rest of this year. And in a Warriors side that's middle of the road, but when they're on their day, they can go ballistic. And Reece Walsh has been a big part of that, despite being so inexperienced. So, I mean, interested if you do go down that path. I think, he could be a guy. We've looked at Gutho over round 13. We all traded him for the likes of Teddy and Turbo, and he's been a very good play over that time, given all the laid outs and the origins and all that sort of stuff. So
yeah, that's right.
Pending any weird origin stuff, Reece Walsh could be the Gutho of round 17.
Well, I think the big difference between the two is Gutho is an established superstar in his own right, yep. Whereas Reece Walsh is a six-game rookie. He's got three games on the trot of 100, 129, I think, and 80-plus. But then the other three games are all in sort of 40s or low 50s. If you're going to get him, this is the week to do it. He's got a negative break even in the teens. Again, I should know this. We are doing a podcast about Supercoach. I should have this in front of me.
Negative 13. Very professional, mate. I'm shocked and appalled.
I know. This is it's very against the grain for us. But, yeah, so negative 13, break even. Plays my boys this week who aren't, have been far from convincing of late. And then they said Dragons and Sharks over the next couple. So it's a very good matchups for him.
What if I float the name Will Kennedy to you as an alternative? Have you thought about him?
I have thought about Will Kennedy. He is playing very well as well, but he was averaging upwards of 70 earlier in the year, and that's dropped well off of late. So a bit of that is a four-point game, but that was still in 80 minutes. Against Penrith. So, and then
Penrith, 4-24. Just don't play Panthers again, which he won't. You're fine.
Well, that's true. That's true too. So he's dropping cash. He's got a big break even, I believe. 109. So, yeah, he's going to be dropping a fair bit of cash over the next couple of weeks. But his matchups are, the Cowboys, Broncos, and then Warriors, Raiders, Dogs. So it's a very good run for him. And if SJ's going gun, Kennedy will be right along with him.
Yeah, I really like this play, actually. It's tough, though, because you're going to have to move on a gun fullback who's going to likely play this round in 16 if you are to bring him in. So, I mean, you could move them on in round 17, well, I guess, but then you're going to miss the good run.
You got Nico Hines, who's ready to be cashed out in the next week or so. So if you drop him down to Will Kennedy and play him over the next couple of weeks, and then but again, as we said all along, he's going to be a two-trade guy. You're not going to want Will Kennedy for the run home. You're going to want a Teddy or a Turbo, depending on who you have. So he's going to be another trade out.
luxuries. Let's go to front row. No real standouts, and I think that's just been the nature of this position so far this season. Big boy season, it hasn't really been for Supercoach. There's a lot of plotters so far in the ranks. No one really above 600K outside of the likes of, I think, Pangai and Papali. So looking at some of these alternatives for round 17, I've got three names highlighted. Luke Thompson, 550K, Marty Tapau, 562, and Adam Fanua-Blake, who's named to start this week at 466. So I think those three, very reliable guys that not real. You don't have to put too much thought into it. I think they're going to bang you out a nice 60 and then possibly carry them on for the rest of the year.
Yeah, exactly right. I bought in Luke Thompson last week for that consistency and a round 17 play. I'm looking at Tapau, but I'm looking closer at AFB. He's got a big break even. He's been off for a while with injury, so he's dropping cash. And he could, you know, be a very cheap upgrade from a Stefano type deal.
Yeah, it's true, actually. Stefano is still churning out. I think he's got a 13 break even or something quite small this week as well. So still nearing that.
Yeah, so he's, you know, mid 300s. Adam Fanua-Blake is mid 400s, but with a triple figure break even. So he should close the gap a little bit, at least for this week. So it could be, you know, a 70K upgrade. You take that at the start of the year.
If you look at his games, it's been stop starts. He played 1-4 and then had the big break before coming back. In that time, he was throwing the occasional offload, broke the line once, was scored one try so far this year. So hasn't been quite the season we've come to expect from AFB, but you'd think if he's fit and healthy, getting some time under his belt, the price is going to be very tantalizing in just a couple of weeks or maybe even just one. Big thing for me is to watch this week and just see how he goes. I think he's still going to get good minutes. See how he's there in post-injury. I think given the alternatives there, he's almost 100K cheaper than Thompson and Tapau. But I think the message there is that you can't go wrong with any of them. Just throw the dart at the right one.
Exactly right. They all have their ups and downs. The props are all pretty consistent outside of Papali, who's a try scorer. So he'll put on a big game. But what we know AFB is great front rower, and it's only injury that sort of brought him down this year, and I see him as the perfect like coverage front row three on the run home.
Yeah, very valuable body
just
to
a
have.
Quick one for you. I know you're a big advocate from the start of the year, but Takiaho, he's fallen well off the radar for you?
I think so, just given, well, he was out last week and I still don't know what it was for.
I'm not sure anybody does. I don't think they announced it.
Nope, goal kicking, very weird, erratic minutes, niggling injuries, below 400K.
Below 400K, which is what caught my eye. But, yes, fallen well off. He's averaging under 56 now after being up over 70s to start the year.
I think those guys around him are just too reliable in that position. And I guess Sam Walker will kick goals as well. So SST is not likely to have that goal-kicking boot back for a while to come. So I just think he's off the radar for me. Unfortunately, decent return at the start of the year when he was kicking stuff. But, yeah, a couple of other names I've got down middling similar to him. Paseka, 367K, 48 average. Ryan Sutton named at lock again but was moved to the bench late last week. Could be another play like that this week. 414K, 57 average. He's done quite well, the Englishman. And Toby Rudolph, 392K, Cronulla Sharks player, 52 average. Those sort of guys you think will, you know, could pull out 50 or 60 but could be less of a hold for the run home, which is what we're saying is quite important.
Yeah, that's right. And for the same sort of price, roughly, I'd much prefer an Adam Fanua-Blake.
Yep, agreed. All right, let's get into the final position, and that's center wing, where this could be the spot to target, given we've got, what is it, seven players to choose from in here. If you're like me, you've stacked up with round 13 players and you're just clearing the dead wood now. See you later, Charlie Staines. Jason Saba already saw you off, but James Roberts, you're next. Fair few just horrendous players. David Nofaluma, Dane Laurie, you know, they're just not kicking on. It needs a clean out, and round 17 could be the round to target. Firstly, let's go with cheapies. Matty Tomoko, we talked about him, playing his second game this week. A wait and see. Just make sure he gets that third week all-important one. But, yeah, if the Raiders turn their form around, he could be great play at the centres. Joseph Suaalii, not named this week, he's in the 21, 227K. Will get a start in round 17 when Tedesco's not there. So will be a valuable body if you're still looking to move someone in. Those are the two I've got. There's no real other players. You might get the odd round 17 guy that pops up, plays one game, and then just goes away for the rest of the season. But those are the two I'd be looking at.
Yeah, exactly. I know a few jumped on Tane Milne last week, but he had a pretty bad game against my boys. Does play the Broncos. On the edge for the, you know, he's on the edge for the Bunnies, but it's the wrong edge. They always go left. So he's not a must have by any means, but if you're desperate.
Is Josh Mansour, just look him up. I wonder how he's going with his injury. I think he's at a while away, so he could be no idea on his return, but yeah, never know. Could toss someone like a Tane Milne out before he becomes valuable. Mids, let's go from cheapies to the mids, and these are the guys between 300 and 500k, so quite a few on the target sheet here. Pretty juicy looking options too. Rattle them off, and then we can go into each one by detail. Bailey Simonson, CC Fatalakai, Ronaldo Mulitalo, Joseph Manu, Ewan Aitken, Matt Ikuvalu, in progressive increasing prices there. How about we start with Bailey Simonson? Who'd have thought? As you said, what was it, 2 weeks ago, death taxes and fullbacks against the Broncos.
Absolutely, mate. So they were averaging upwards of 99, I think it was, coming into that game, and he dropped to 116. If you needed an advocate for playing fullback against the Broncos, Bailey Simonson is it. It was phenomenal. He just was everywhere. He looked like, you know, Turbo out there. So, yeah, the Broncos are now giving up over 100 points a game across, what is it, 14 weeks? It's insane.
It is. It's a bizarre. Well, I don't know if it's really bizarre, but it's just showing the season that it is, just how teams getting on a roll, the gap between the top and the bottom. It's it's just all the recipe for Supercoach disaster when you're the Broncos trying to defend against those fullbacks. So,
and Latrell this week.
Going to be a great play if you've got him.
No prizes for guessing who the vice captain of the week is going to be in the captain's article.
There you go. Big Latrell. Good to see him back and in form. But yeah, Bailey, it's going to be the interesting thing because he's been in fullback before, played sort of mid-game shuffling there, and then a couple of games, I think, named to start. But I think the big thing for him will just be making sure that it's going to be a consistent showing. I think the way he performed, the way he sort of found his way in that line and was part of all the good things the Raiders did, looked comfortable in the role. I think maybe that could be the confidence boost he needs rather than the anomaly against the you know, wooden spooners. So I'll be watching him for this round. Obviously going to have a very negative break even. If you've held on to him, fantastic, great stuff. If you haven't, he's still not going to be out of reach if you think the Raiders have turned it around. But yeah, for me, it's just too much of a risk.
It is too much of a risk. He has a negative 15 break even. He's only 350K, but I was happy to trade him out at the start of the year because he was very, very poor when he wasn't playing the Broncos. But even with a 116 last week, he's averaging 40 on the season. So it's if he can turn and make a go of it at fullback, then more power to him, but it's not a risk I'm willing to take again.
CC Fatalakai, so definite not break, negative break even. 369K. We'll start now without Graham, possibly juggling minutes with Teague Wilton, who's on the bench. So interested to see just how the rotation works. Don't expect we'll be seeing 80 minutes, though.
Wouldn't think so, but he was a breakout star of last year. And everyone probably would have had him in their center wing to start the season if he was there from round one. But a definite watch this week. He's got a big break even. So if he does go off, then great. He's not going to go up much in price anyway. So you want to see what his role is, what his minutes are, who he's sharing with. As you said, Teague Wilton's there. Exactly what he's doing and if he's really being trusted out there for the next 4 weeks. On Graham, it was another head knock that's put him out. He's said he's going to be sitting for the next 4 weeks, which is good if you're a potential Talakai buyer, but we know how these head knocks go. So if a worse comes to worse and Graham's required to sit out longer, it could be a great play, but I think you definitely need to watch it this week.
You're relying on reputation too, looking at his scores. So he's averaging under a point a minute, which is just showing he's not the same tackle busting, offloading sort of wrecking ball that he was last season. So I think that's why he's such a good watch for this round. Just see if he's got the mojo back. Maybe it'll take those starting minutes, but based on what he's churned out so far this season, haven't seen the 2020 Talakai. Ronaldo Mulitalo, speaking of the Sharks, 395k, negative 33 break even this week. Since his return in round 12, he has a 97 and an 84. Very terrible scores in the start of the season, despite the Sharks doing relatively okay back then. But he's a guy that's finding some form out on that left edge. So against us this week, it's a scary proposition.
Yeah, he's been good, hasn't he? And he was great last week. I caught that game and he busted a big tackle down that left edge and set them up to score some decent points. But yeah, I think I'm more interested in his running mate, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, why don't we jump to
just jump straight into
Cronulla.
Him? Yep,
509k. Jesse Ramien, I presume you're talking about.
Yeah, it is, yes. So he's been far more consistent this year. He had a 50 last week, which was a down game for him. So in games he hasn't been injured in, or sin bin by the looks of it, he's gone 64, 88, 70, and 124. And then last week's 49 against the Panthers. So been great all season. And now looks like a potential, you know, center wing four, maybe five for you on the run home.
Mm. There's some rounds in there as well. He ran 20 times against the Bulldogs. He ran 18 times against you guys. He ran 18 against the Dragons. He had a quiet night last week against Penrith. I think it was just a lot of drop ball and never really got going. So I think that's the anomaly. But if you look at that, it shows he's in the right headspace. I think that's part of the problem.
It was only 2-3 years ago he was one of the best in the position. The Knights snapped him up on a big deal and he went to shit. And now he looks like he's getting his form back, which is fantastic to see for him and for us as super coaches. When he's on, he's fantastic, and I think he's well worth taking a chance on.
Yep. Bringing him in this week, I really like
the play. Okay, never mind.
There you go. Just to caveat that. I am bringing him in against my boys. So, either way, if he goes terrible, maybe we'll just sneak a 20-point loss or something. So who knows? But, yeah, based on those returns, for center wing at 500K, I think that's great premium stuff. Back to the mids, the next guy I had on my list, Joseph Manu. So when he plays fullback, when he plays 5'8", he's almost a must-have. 97 last week when Teddy was out, priced at 432K. Issue is when he's at center wing, great NRL player.
That's right.
Ordinary super coach.
It's not putting many points on. Yeah, because the guys outside of him are scoring, Morris on the wing or Ikavalu now, or it's going the other way, or Teddy's doing stuff and blah, blah, blah. It can come from anywhere from the Roosters. And Manu is a fantastic player, but he's just not putting points on the board. Also, leading into the next 2 weeks, he plays the Bulldogs in round 17. He'll be at fullback. That's a fantastic matchup for him.
Oh, boy.
Leading into that, though, he's got a full-strength Penrith side this week and then Melbourne next week. It's going to be very tough going for him. So I'm not sure he's a guy you want to look at now, despite him just dropping nearly a ton.
He's almost that one-week play. See him lined up at fullback, bring him in for that Dogs game. I think if you've got the trades to do it, that could be the way to go. Let's go similar to what you just did with Ramey, and let's go to his Roosters teammates. So we got Ikavalu. We mentioned him as a mid, 477K. Despite having a couple, I guess you'd call it quiet games when everyone sort of traded him in with Bemoz's retirement, he's still had a pretty good year. Outside of that, he's scoring tries. He finds the ball out on that edge. Sam Walker's working through a pretty good combination with him. So as long as he's still there, Ikavalu could be doing great things. And in that Rooster side, if you've got keys to the car, you're going to use them on that run home. I think they're a side that'll firm up really well. Ikavalu tends to be on the end of a lot of the good stuff they do. Good price.
Yeah, and so they have a good run home. They've got the Dogs, your boys, my boys, Broncos, Dragons, and Canberra on the way home. But mixed in around that, two games against Penrith, the Eels, Rabbits, and Melbourne. So it's up and down. He's a guy that, similar to Manu, I think you'd pick and choose when you played him if you were going to get him. I wouldn't be playing him against Penrith, for instance. But, I mean, he's a try scorer. He's one of those guys that if he doesn't score tries, even against the Dogs, for instance, he's going to put up a dud score. He's not really a huge worker, I don't think. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he does put up good scores when he's scoring tries. And what did he get, two last week and scored a ton? So he's, and that can happen in any given week with the Roosters. They're a fantastic attacking side, and Nikavalu is a big benefactor of that.
On the other side of the field, Daniel Tupou, he's our 567K premium in that Roosters backline. So he's a guy I'm actually targeting as well this week, despite the run coming up. And that's just based on the base he's got really in this game, the floor. I think priced at that 560K mark because of that reason. He's doesn't tend to go too low. I think he's up one sub 40 game all season. The rest have been right up there. A couple of tons, round 8 and round 10 against our boys, lo and behold. Outside of that, I think he's just reliable and a guy that I'm going to want to carry for the run home. So I think 85 break even. He's not a must-have for this week, but I needed to move on a Charlie Staines and a Dane Laurie who are just going to drop a lot of cash. So I'll back him in against Penrith this week. I'll stick him out there just because I think Penrith could be a good game, could be a really good game if they get an attacking roll on. But I don't know, I see maybe one try coming his way, so I'm happy to stick him in. But a guy that I'd trust over at Ikevalu.
Yeah, Tupou's where I was going to be putting my money on as well. But he's, I think I'll grab him leading into round 17 as opposed to the next couple of weeks. I've got some other guys I'm targeting before that. But definitely, of the three we've just spoken about, he's the one I want for that run.
Final one in the mids, Ewan Aitken. So a name that Anton pulled out on the pod, playing for the Warriors now, doing okay, I guess. A name that always tends to fly under the radar. We've talked about a lot of guys with good runs. He's probably not in that realm. The Warriors do have a decent few games coming up, but are you considering a Ewan Aitken over the coming weeks?
Don't think so. I think there are better options, as we've just spoken about. I'd prefer Ramian and I'd prefer Tupou to...
One game above 55 all season.
Yeah.
And that game had two tries.
Two tries.
It was against the Cowboys. Right.
that Jeez, seems to be the caveat on everything you say. But I'm sort of the belief, like, if I'm going to be trusting... Reece Walsh and Nikarima to get the job done over the next couple of weeks. Aitken could benefit as well, but I'm less confident in that.
Yep. Final name on this list and a name that's basically a no-brainer. It was last week. It still remains the same this week. Alex Johnson, if you don't have him, get him in.
Yeah, last week was the week to get him winning. So if you didn't do that, try what you can do this week. He's mid 500s. He can score. You know, he's on the right wing, like the correct wing, I should say, for the Bunnies. And they, we've spoken about how good a run they've got coming up. So get him in.
Yeah, I think it's as much a no-brainer as we've seen all season against the Broncos. And then my boys in the bye week could be huge. That's basically all the positions. There's quite a few names that we've rattled off there. Some guns, I think, in second row and center to target. There could be some great value outside of that. Who knows? Throw some darts.
Yeah.
Let's get into this week's plays. What are you doing trades and captain-wise?
As you've probably guessed, I'm bringing in SJ. I've got Connor Watson in 5'8", and I've got the Cheese up in the hook and roll, deciding which one of those to keep. Cheese is going to make me a lot of money for the trades over the next couple of weeks, which is the temptation to get him out. But adverse to that, he's been much, much better than Connor Watson of late, and he's playing the Tigers this week, so... I think I'll end up booting Watson, playing, keeping the Cheese up there in my backup hooking role, and then looking at Ramian or something of the like in that if I do use my second trade. I am very tempted, very, very tempted by Reece Walsh, but it's getting tight on my trades. I don't know if I have enough to trade him in and then trade him back out post round 18, so it's something I have to look at.
Captains?
Yeah, captains. I've got Cody, I've got AJ, I've got Nico Hines, who are all very strong consideration for my vice captaincy this week. The first two play the Broncos, obviously, and then Nico playing the Tigers, who also give up good points, and Gutho just had a day out. But I think you're going to find that Turbo is going to be the most captain guy this round, coming up against the Titans, who have, you know, been far from a powerhouse of late. Turbo played them in his second or third game back, you know, 65 minutes, 120 odd points. It could be another big game for him.
Yeah, I'd be very worried not having the captaincy on him for that afternoon game. against the Titans. So, yep, definitely got the C on him. I've got a VC on Alex Johnson. I think he's a guy that could go pretty large. I didn't want to go Cody Walker just because never really know who's going to get the points out of him. Him and Latrell, whatever they do, though, they always go to Alex Johnson. So should the Broncos get dusted, as we expect, and could be Alex Johnson with another time. Yeah, well, it's going to be an interesting one. How much you need before you loop? That's always the question. Yeah, so I don't know. Exactly, could be anything.
Right. Anyone could be anything this week.
It's a good conundrum to have. And yeah, I'm trading in Jesse Ramien and Daniel Tupou. So really firming up. Glad to see some deadwood getting cut.
Just make sure you do it before lockout.
Yeah, mate, I've signed, sealed, delivered those trades, so I think Wenin's done the same. He has learned his lesson, and then, you know what? It'll be one of those weeks where there's a late out, and we've ruined it now with the trade. That's just how Supercoach works. I said at the start, I was racing the clock, and the battery's holding up. It's lasting longer than you and I could ever hope, but yeah, it's still clinging on, and we've made it to the end. It's been quite a marathon. It's a very big week. I think it's getting into that time of year. It's a good time of year for Supercoach. It's just decisions to be made. It's not always the smart or the no-brainers, as we've talked about. There's a lot of pod plays to go, a lot of dice to be thrown, darts to be hurled. So it's interesting time of year.
It's this week in particular, next week as well, with the five trades. It's very much of, like, you know your guys who you want to get, who you want to have for the run home, and or who you want to get in for this week and make some money or whatever it is that you want to do. But you've got to have an eye for 3 weeks' time. You've got to play that long game over the next couple of weeks and make sure the guys you're bringing in are either going to be benefiting you in round 17 or for the run home, because, as I say, trades are low. Everyone's going to be getting low now. Money's going to be tight. So smarter trades. We can't just be so willy-nilly with what we're doing.
Speaking of smart plays and using our money wisely, Ipswich Cup this weekend.
Big one. I don't think anything's going to be smart on Saturday afternoon.
Oh, mate, we're at Cerebral Assassins out on that racing track. We'll pick some winners. Don't you worry about that. Otherwise, we'll just go pick some winners on the pokies. Who knows? It's going to be some smart plays all around. Shout out to Sparky's better half for keeping us housed on Saturday night. Could be a messy one. Look forward to anyone out there who might run into us. I don't know where we're sitting or standing or
congregating. I don't think it matters. We're going to be there at the track. We're going to be wherever we'll be. If you're there as well, just hit us up on Twitter. You know, JT, what's your handle there, bud?
No, JT250.
I'm at DLake631. So just send us a tweet, send us a DM or something like that, and we'll try and catch up with people if they're around.
Love it, mate. Looking forward to it. Catch you next week.
Certainly will.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.